All right, hour number three, a final hour of power coming up. Nell's super six pack. Only he can anoint himself with a nickname. We will have that for you, plus our normal staples and features right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. I don't know what is going on with my computer. I just keep hitting
a bunch of windows.
A new one?
I did. You were so behind.
I'm so behind.
You act like a dinosaur. I mean, it's almost embarrassing, Chris.
Well, what should I act like?
I mean, a rooster. How about that?
I'm just curious. I mean, like what else can I do, right? All right, here's the number that I wanted to give you. The Dallas Cowboys tonight, and now all of the trends and whatever, people are going to talk about this. The Dallas Cowboys tonight are looking for their seventh straight win against the Giants, right? I mean, we know the Commanders have struggled against Daniel Jones and the Giants. The Cowboys have been just the opposite, right? They've beaten the Giants six straight times. So they're looking for their seventh. And I think Dak Prescott, if I have the number right, and again, I'm just having a little problems pulling it up. It's just pulling up.
I don't think Dak's ever lost.
I was going to say, Dak has never lost, I don't think, in his NFL career against the New York Giants. I believe I have
survived
that right.
A Kadarius Toney crazy half before he got suspended.
Yep. They've won six straight, 13 of 14, and I think the one game they lost was when he was out. Because remember, he got hurt in a Giants game, and he was having a monster game, and they won that game, but then they lost the next game against the Giants in which he was already injured and lost for the year. So they've won 13 out of 14 against the Giants, the Cowboys have, in six straight. So again, Dak has never lost to the Giants. He's 32-8 against the NFC East. I mean, for all the crap that Dak gets about the playoffs and all that stuff, I got it. You know, like, listen, it's, and I fought a lot of this with Kirk Cousins. I mean, like, everybody thinks everybody's Tom Brady. You know, look at how many freaking awful performances Peyton Manning had in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Look at how many dreadful performances. You know, Grant Paulson will tell you a different story because he just looks at box scores and plays box score bingo. I don't do that. Homie, don't play that. I tell you reality and what my eyes tell me, and that is Peyton Manning had some dreadful performances. I mean, dreadful performances in the postseason. Now, why? Because you're playing better defenses. You're not playing the Sisters of the Poor, right? So Dak Prescott has been heavily criticized, and I understand it. It comes with the territory. You want to make $60 million a year, just like Mike McCarthy has been heavily criticized, just like Jerry Jones, just like the Dallas Cowboys. It's a playoff sport. But the regular season does matter.
Rightfully
so. I mean, it matters. And when you're 13 out of 14 against the Giants as an organization, when Dak is undefeated as a quarterback against the Giants, and when you're 32-8 against the NFC East, and when you've been 12-5 each of the last three years, and you do have one road playoff win. Now, again, that's not enough. I get it. But let's stop acting like the Dallas Cowboys are some disgrace, some embarrassment. Now, Jerry Jones talking about people's players, certain parts of their body.
And notice to, how that just flies
to Jamie
under the Fox. Radar, right?
I mean, that's...
They was probably messing around with the diddler.
What? Oh...
One would not shock me.
I don't know if I can make that, because look, people got mad when there was speculation about Dan Snyder and Jeffrey Epstein, right? I'm not going to make that. I'm not going to make that comparison. But here's what I know.
Sued, but I don't care what they care
Here's
about.
What I know on video with audio and unquestionably video and audio because it was on Instagram. Not that everything on Instagram is real. Jerry Jones is talking about player size and whatever, and then he's talking about having a player having a 8-plus inch apparatus.
Whoa.
on their frame. And the last time I checked, man, when they go to the combine, do we get that kind of information,
Matt, do we get 40s and vertical? I mean, of course. I mean, leave it up to this guy.
Cue the fool said it already sold.
You'd already be sold.
I'm just saying.
P. Diddy would have bought you.
I'm just saying. Well, I mean, P. Diddy tried to buy a lot of things.
Let's buy.
I mean, you know, I'm just saying. I think the Cowboys are going to win tonight. I think they have an urgency because of their upcoming schedule, because of how they've been beat up, and because I don't think Devin Singletary and Tyrone Tracy are capable enough of destroying them like Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, Rashid Shaheed, whatever. Now, that being said, I mean, look, I can't say that I feel great about this because, and you correctly point out, Dallas's offensive line pass protection, and we all knew it was going to take a hit,
didn't
right?
I
you,
say
lose
it?
Tyler Biadasz, you lose Tyler Biadasz, you lose
Zach Martin.
Well, yeah, but the left tackle who's
you
up
lost
in the Jets.
You lost
well,
Tyron.
I said Biadasz, right? Tyron Smith. Yeah. You lose all of those guys. You're going to give up some pressures. I mean, this is the problem when you've got to pay your quarterback $60 million a year, when you've got to pay CeeDee Lamb $30-some million a year. When you have to put all your eggs in a couple of baskets, it doesn't leave a whole lot of yolk for anybody else.
I like that.
Right?
Doesn't leave a whole lot of yolk for the children.
So you had the Giants. I had the Cowboys.
Yeah, you got that, Matt. I'm on the record. I'm going with the G-Men.
Tonight.
I got to create some separation. Should we update the folks on the standings and how I'm in first place?
Sure. Let's do that. You want to do that?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Our show picks.
And
right?
There's going to be embarrassment for the losers of this. When I say losers, I mean plural, because there's only one winner and it's going to be me.
Well, I mean, here's the deal, right? So Matt has done a yeoman's job. I'm trying to pull it up. He has done a yeoman's job of calculating and studying and analyzing and crunching the numbers and getting after it, right? So here's the deal. Through 3 weeks of the NFL season, now this is just picked straight up against our straight winners, not up against the spread. I am 23-24, and I am completely embarrassed. Because I started off 10-5.
Yeah.
So I have had a really rough last 2 weeks. Yeah. Doc is 24-23, which is, of course, two games better than me, but still not very good, right? Again, this is straight up.
You're not very good. It's hard to pick. He's 500.
Matt and his coin, which he lost and he somehow rediscovered, is 19-28. So even worse than Doc and me, okay? Now you, for somebody who is just, the nicest way I could say this, you're stuck on yourself. I mean,
boisterous.
You think your poop does not stink.
I'm confident.
Right?
I have unwavering belief in myself.
You want to talk about
I wake up
being
and piss excellence.
You want to talk about being in first place. You're 24-23, for God's sakes.
Is that first place
you're
or not?
You're tied with Doc.
Yeah, you're tied.
Is it first place?
You're one game ahead of me.
Is it first place?
Yes.
How many games it takes to win?
I mean, the Commanders finished in first place in 2020. Were they a good team?
How many games does it take
to
win?
They were 7-9.
What place are you in?
I'm in.
Are you ahead of me?
I mean, technically, I'm in third place.
Are you ahead of me?
I'm ahead of the coin.
Are you ahead of me?
I am not ahead of you.
Are you better at picking games than me? No. It's time for Nell's Super Six Pack. Me and the committee spent a lot of time over the past several days putting this together because there's a lot of movement. Week 4 in the NFL, we like to dub this Separation Sunday coming up this week.
Yes.
The
Nell's Super Six Pack. 3-3-3.
You forgot about the intro.
1. I was going to toss to him, but the big voice guy, he did his thing.
He got a little excited.
But it is time for Nell's Super Six Pack, the most highly anticipated power ranking
revolutionary
segment in all of sports talk radio.
I mean, it's never been done before.
Our top six teams in the NFL going into week 4 of the National Football League, Separation Week, contenders and pretenders. We find out who they are this week. Our honorable mention for Nell's Super Six Pack, as we like to call it, not fly enough to get in the club. Teams that are playing well, but aren't the top six. Seattle, one of the lone unbeaten teams remaining in the National Football League, not fly enough to get in the club. They may be on this list. if they're able to win their big time game coming up on, what is it, Sunday Night Football? Detroit, Seattle, two teams that are kind of going under the radar in the NFC, it feels like. I love what Seattle's done. Geno Smith's been a top five quarterback in the NFL to this point this year. He has been awesome. 49ers also not fly enough to get in the club. They're just missing too many key pieces. They had an ugly loss this past weekend to the Rams, but I still believe in the overall operation. And I know for this honorable mention spot, there's so many other teams you could have put here, but I have respect for San Francisco. Third and final honorable mention team not fly enough to get in the club, the Baltimore Ravens. They got a big game coming up this weekend as well as a take on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, who we will find out sooner than later where they are in those Super Six pack. Number six, the Green Bay Packers. Another impressive win. Malik Willis running it, throwing it. Revenge game this weekend against the Titans. Matt LaFleur's defense is getting after people. They made Will Levis look like a boob once again. They're running the football. They didn't have Josh Jacobs this weekend. Insert undrafted free agent running back to go pick up a bunch of yards. Defensively, they're getting after the passer. I like the Green Bay Packers. The NFC North all of a sudden a lot more competitive than people gave it credit for. Will stick in the NFC North making their debut in the Super Six Pack at number five. Brian Flores's Minnesota Vikings. Why did I say B-Flows? Minnesota Vikings, because the last two weekends he has had something for that old Shanahan offense that the Rooster can't stop slurping up every chance he gets. Brian Flores is the architect to shutting it down. CJ Stroud was seeing ghosts last week. The week before it was Brock Purdy. I like what the Vikings are doing. I had some concern about their back end, but they're undefeated. Number four, the team that to me had the gutsiest win in week number three, the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia went on the road in the hostile territory and took down the Goliath, the team that Jay Gruden acts like is going to go to the damn Super Bowl. And the New Orleans Saints completely shut down Clint Kubiak's cute little offense. Jalen Carter, man-child. He has been the best interior defensive lineman in the NFL to this point. John Allen and Deron Payne turn on the all-22 and watch that guy. He gets double-teamed too. The Eagles come in at number four. Coming in at number three is a loser for week number three, but a loser that I respect. They've got what I call BOTD, benefit of the doubt. CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans. They're still not to be played with. I still think they're one of the top teams in the NFL. CJ Stroud, though, Rooster, has been sacked 11 times to start the year. They're having some issues up front. They did not have Joe Mixon last week, though. So I give them a little bit of a pass for what happened against Minnesota. Number two, a team that I'm real close to putting at number one, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. You want to talk about a defense that plays with gap integrity? Watch the Bills. Watch how they play the run. Watch how Greg Rousseau and Ed Oliver and Von Miller get after the quarterback. They lose a significant member of their team every weekend, Chris, and what do? They act like nothing happens and they keep winning. And then number one, the referees' favorites, the Kansas City Chiefs. Once again, stealing one in prime time against our old Cud and Kirk and the Falcons, who were almost fly enough to not be fly enough to make it into the club, meaning the honorable mention portion. But that is no Super Six Pack. Packers, six. Vikings, five. Eagles, four. Texans, three. Bills, two. Chiefs, one.
All right. So I had, so as revolutionary as you are, right?
Shout out to the committee.
Sure. I had the Vikings already in my Super Six Pack for weeks now.
Really?
I was ahead of the curve. And I had them at number five going into last week. You know who I had, though, at number one?
Who was at number one?
The Houston Texans.
You have the Texans at one, huh?
Yeah. I have not been impressed by the Kansas City Chiefs at all. I have them holding steady at number two. And tomorrow, I will debut my new Super Six Pack. Again, the most revolutionary segment in sports talk radio. But only you sleep on it because I do six games against the spread, which you don't do. And Super Six Pack ranking of six. And I go one through six just because I'm different. I'm unique. I want to give the fans something different to look forward to. So we do it in the 3 o'clock hour each and every Friday after we sweep away. After we sweep away. Linnell Willing.
Yeah, okay. How does that do for you? How does that move?
It does great. The numbers just go through the roof, baby. 301-230-0980.
We ain't talking money. What are we talking about? That's what Coco Louie just tweeted, the DJ from WPG said.
Yeah, I don't care.
I'm hijacking the show.
You're doing exactly.
In all actuality, though,
you're doing exactly what you normally do.
To have a quick around the NFL semi discussion, because I want to hear what you think, being the old rooster pal that you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bills, Steelers, Chiefs, Vikings. And Seahawks, the 3-0 team.
Let's play real or fraud.
Let's play real or fraud. Seattle. I think Seattle's for real.
Well, how about we do that next?
Next?
On the team. Stop hijacking the show.
On the RC app.
301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and always live and free on the Odyssey app. All right, so let's play a little real or fraud with the undefeated teams in the NFL through 3 weeks, right? I think there's only one way to start this with the defending Super Bowl champions, the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. And again, everybody's definition of real or fraud can be different, right? And have different components and different elements. But I would say this. For the Kansas City Chiefs, you would say they're what?
They're 100% real.
Okay.
Man. What are you talking about?
I would say they're real. I would not say they're 100%. I would not say. I don't know what that was.
Look at the three teams they had to face to start the year.
I understand that. Baltimore.
They're 3-0.
I get it. Baltimore and Cincinnati at home. They won both of those games by a whisker. And then they got a fortunate break on a third down call, on a blown call, on the final drive for the Atlanta Falcons on the road, granted, and won a game, again, by a whisker. Well, maybe a couple of whiskers. So here's why I said they are real, because obviously they are the two-time defending champions. But let me just tell you this. I don't know what Travis Kelce, what happened to him over the offseason, and he admitted on that podcast that you people all love, that he sucked and that he's been terrible. I don't know what's going on in his life, if he's been partying too much, traveling too much. I have no idea. He's being a rock star. Maybe it's just age and time, but he has not been a factor. They have no Isaiah Pacheco. They're bringing up Kareem Hunt, who hasn't played for them in 6 years, from the practice squad. Their offensive line is in flux, is how I would describe it. Patrick Mahomes, they're playing too deep. The one thing that I would say that has been pretty consistent about the Chiefs is when they have to have it on defense, Steve Spagnuolo finds a way to dial it up, and somebody comes through, whether it's Chris Jones, whether it's the good corner, the good young corner that they kept. They lost L'Jarius Sneed. They lost Gay, I think, over the offseason. Willie Gay. So
Defense has been what's carried them over the past couple of years. They're in the Patriots phase of their dynasty. They're like, it's very Patriot-like. In terms of, you've paid Pat, now you have to really hit on your draft picks, which they've done. Defensively, like Jalen Watson and what they've got on that in their young secondary, their safeties are really good as well. Like, I don't worry about them, because when the lights shine the brightest and it's time to go, like they're
you know
they're
who's
there.
Been great for them? Nick Bolton.
Nick
Bolton's been really good. Leo Chanel has been pretty good for them down the street. I mean, like, they still, and again, Spagnuolo just has the right sense, the right timing. I still love, and this is why I wanted the Commanders to do it, I still love the blitz that he dialed up on third and six midfield against Burrow at the end of the Cincinnati game. It was the last snap that Burrow played in that game. He got lit up like a Christmas tree, and it helped change that game around. So anyway, I think the Chiefs, you think the Chiefs are real. However, I would caution everybody. I do not think they are any kind of juggernaut. I do not think they are absolutely incapable of being beat. As a matter of fact, I have them going down this week. They're at the Chargers.
Are you on crack?
What do you mean?
You have them losing to the Chargers?
Like, do you understand that the Chargers were 2-0 going into last week, lost their starting quarterback midway through the second quarter, and like, almost could have won that game?
The Chargers haven't played anybody the first 2 weeks. What are you talking about?
Well, they played the Steelers last week.
And lost.
Okay.
And the Steelers are the biggest Speaking of fraud, they're the biggest fraud of the 3-0 teams.
Fine. Not I agree close. With you. We actually agree on something.
They are the,
their defense is very
their
good.
Their defense is good. Their offense
their quarterback
is
nothing more than average or mediocre. Exactly. Nothing more. I won't call him because it pisses off Eddie D. But I won't call him terrible. Justin Fields is a guy that's going to make one or two plays a game, and that's it. And so
Chris
far, he's
Russell
done a pretty good job.
Came out of his pecker and said that your beak, whatever you want to call it, that the Chiefs are going to lose to the.
Oh, like that can't happen. What are you talking about?
You on, smelling salts or something?
What are you talking? What league are you watching?
You drinking saline?
Seriously?
Huh?
What league are you watching?
Did somebody put roofies in your trail mix?
What league are you watching? You don't think this could be a possibility?
I think they're going to go down this week. You said it with so much conviction.
Yeah, they're on the road. They've barely squeaked by in three games.
I guarantee you, Grant and Allison Paulson do not think that the damn Kansas City Chiefs.
What do they know?
I mean, Grant's. I mean, it's one half the Doubleman twins. Right.
The Buffalo Bills.
I never really heard of Grant Paulson.
Exactly. The Buffalo Bills are right up the road on 95 Sunday Night Football against the Baltimore Ravens. Are the Bills real, or are they a fraud?
They're real, but I have concerns about the injuries that they've suffered on defense. They have been beaten up on that side of the ball already. It's my only like concern with that group. But I think they're playing as well as anybody. I like their formula offensively. For years, we've been talking about, can they add that layer of toughness in terms of running the football? James Cook is running it well. Curtis Samuel's getting involved in the running game. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen, we all know what he can do as a runner.
They have a couple of good tight ends.
They have a couple of good. The Bills, Sean McDermott was somebody that I said was on the hot seat coming into this year, and the Bills have come out guns a-blazing, and I really – they look like the best team in the NFL.
But I will tell you this, at 3-0, even though I think they're going to be able to move the football against Baltimore's defense, as we talked about yesterday, I think what was the –
Baltimore's got to make them one-dimensional. That's going to be the key.
Right. But the number was the Ravens have what, the second worst was it the second worst pass defense, right?
Ravens have they have the best run defense though.
Right, but well, and that's a problem.
It's so early that I think
the
some
Ravens
of these
can
stats
make them
no, much.
I know. If the Ravens can make them one dimensional, I agree, but I think the Bills are going to be able to move. What I don't know is, are the Bills going to be able to shut down Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson? And are they going to have trouble on the back end with Zay Flowers? And if Lamar...
Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones are playing like beasts.
No, I understand.
In the middle, so...
I understand. Greg Rousseau has been really good.
Well, that's the problem.
I mean,
who's going to guard? Who's going to try to stop Greg Rousseau, Epinenza, and Von Miller?
Yeah, well, and Baltimore's missing three of their... there were three of their starting lineup from offensive linemen from last year, and unfortunately, their offensive line coach passed away right before the year. I think the Bills are real. I do not think they're frauds yet. I think the Baltimore Ravens win this game coming up on Sunday night.
It's real.
Yes. The other team that we haven't gotten to, right? There's 4-3-0 teams. Is that right? Mm-hmm. The Seattle Seahawks. You already said they're real.
I think they're for real.
Okay.
I think Geno Smith's playing some of the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
I'm going to go real as well. So that means we're going to agree on too many of these teams. Exactly. The Seattle Seahawks. Look,
they had a big game this week.
Look, Mike McDonald. I mean, listen.
That's who I wanted.
We
if
all
it wasn't,
knew.
If it wasn't my guy, who did I want originally?
I don't
McDonald.
Know. I mean, you changed. You change your choices like people change their underwear.
Mike McDonald
hopefully.
Was the guy I wanted.
Yeah,
initially.
I mean, Mike McDonald's a great young coach. Yeah. He's got energy. He's got. I mean, it's sophisticated.
I wanted McDonald.
Defensive
I wanted
scheme.
Raheem Morris.
It's an attack defensive scheme. I wanted all of those guys. I mean, I love Dan Quinn, but
I didn't want Dan Quinn. I'll be honest.
Okay, that's fine. Right. I mean, you know, Dan Quinn's doing okay so far. Anyway, the Seahawks. See, people, I think when they think of the Seahawks, like the other day, their backup running back. Zach Charbonnet carried the load because Kenneth Walker is not even healthy, right? They're doing a lot of this without Kenneth Walker. Now, if they can keep Geno Smith standing, which they couldn't last year, and if they don't have to go to Sam Howell, okay, I think the Seahawks are absolutely for real. So I will say they're for real. But the question becomes is, can they take what they are?
Mm-hmm.
go on the road and beat a really good team in a big spot. You know, beat a Green Bay,
but
beat
this
a.
This is the thing. They got Detroit this weekend in prime time.
Right.
No Frank Ragnow.
Right.
I think it's going to be the coming out party for Byron Murphy, man. I mean, he has been a game wrecker the first couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. And
him going up against backups on the interior, I mean, he should win that matchup.
That game is at Detroit, correct?
Yes, and let me tell you who
else is. So this is the first real big time. Because, I'm sorry, last week the Dolphins with their backup quarterback in Skylar Thompson and then their third quarterback playing and no Raheem Mostert, not a test. Week two, yes, they went on the road. They beat New England, who I understand had beaten Cincinnati the week before, but they beat them in overtime, right? We know New England is challenged. And week one, they smacked around Bo Nix in Denver. So I don't think Seattle's really been tested yet. This is their first major test, and maybe I'll feel differently on Monday morning.
So this is the problem with Detroit. They're all
or Tuesday morning.
They're
I'm sorry. That's
the Monday
in the
night. Secondary. Chris Godwin went ape, you know what, against them. Big game for whoever's in the slot, whether it's Lockett, whether it's Smith the Jigba. They can't cover slot guys to save their life.
All right. Time to take a trending alert break, final one of the afternoon, and then we will come back for a little cleanup on aisle three and dum-dum of the day, all before 4 o'clock right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we have Thursday night football for you tonight, beginning at 8 o'clock after Talking Terps with Coach Loxley and Johnny Holiday and the crew and Maryland football as they get set to take on Indiana here Saturday afternoon on the Team 980. Joined in progress, the pregame coverage at 8 o'clock, the full game coverage at 8:15 here on the Team 980, and as well the Odyssey app via our friends at Westwood One. Two 1-2 teams, but two teams that feel like they might be heading in different directions. Dallas was whooped around in the last two home games by the Baltimore Ravens, at least for three quarters, and by the New Orleans Saints for the entirety of week two. The Giants went up to Cleveland after blowing a game here and then shut down Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. Seven sacks of Deshaun and the Browns last Sunday in a win. Malik Nabers, of course, huge in that. Couple of touchdowns. Tonight, Thursday night football, Nabers in primetime for the first time. Again, 2-1-2 teams here at on the Team 980 and, of course, on the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, college football, Army at 3-0. They take the show on the road to Philadelphia and Lincoln Financial Field, where they'll take on 1-3 Temple tonight. Meanwhile, the National are trailing 7-4, and actually that game just ended over at Nationals Park, so the Nationals get swept. Three home games remaining against Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, and the Philadelphia Phillies. Kansas City on their way to Atlanta with a much, much needed sweep as they try and make the baseball playoffs, and that's what's trending. All right, coming down the home stretch, final 20 minutes or so of the show, Grandma, on a Thursday afternoon, only show in town. Craig Hoffman coming up at 4 o'clock. We just gave you a Thursday night preview. It just played Real or Fraud. Again, we both think the Pittsburgh Steelers are
frauds.
I guess, you know, look, they're not frauds in the technical sense, but they're frauds because their offense stinks.
They're frauds.
And their offensive line is shredded. Shredded. The Nationals lose to the Kansas City Royals, get swept 7-4. Hey, at least they scored some runs, but they gave up three in the top of the ninth and lose it 7-4. Big sweep for the Royals, who go on to Atlanta and deal with that as they try and make the playoffs here in the American League. The Baltimore Orioles already in the playoffs as they clinched a spot on Tuesday
weekend.
Night.
Well, yeah. Was that Tuesday night?
Today's Thursday. It was Tuesday night.
Tuesday.
So we have that. But we have a couple of stories for cleanup on aisle three that I want to get here and get involved and get your thoughts on. So why don't we do that? I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Oh, yes, clean up on aisle three, please. Let's clean up this mess. Are you a UFC fan?
No, I actually think UFC is kind of stupid.
I do too, but I generally don't make fun of it because I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a pro wrestling fan. And TKO now owns WWE and UFC, right? It's a combined company. So the story pops up on ESPN, and I know nothing about it. Apparently, UFC reached a new settlement, and they might have a bunch of settlements that they have to deal with when it comes to Vince McMahon coming up. But anyway, TKO Group, the parent company, again, of WWE and UFC, reached an agreement with a couple of plaintiffs that will pay $375 million in a class action lawsuit in which former fighters alleged that the MMA promotion violated antitrust laws. Now, we've seen with the Sunday Ticket and antitrust and all this
stuff. That word is so loaded.
I know. So here's my question. Neither one of us are UFC fans.
Correct.
This matters nothing to me at all. I don't care if they've got to pay the money. If they don't pay the money, I don't know who these two fighters are. Yeah. I don't care 1 ounce about them. Zero interest. But I will say this. Mm-hmm. It is becoming harder and harder to be a sports fan and certainly an analyst or talk show host or an observer when you look at the just never-ending, and I mean nonstop, litany of legal nonsense and mumbo-jumbo that we've got to interpret and sift through. And this is just one. I'm going to get to another one here. This is just one. And again, I want to be clear. I don't care one rat's ass about the UFC. I've watched it. I don't follow it. I don't go to any of their events. I don't talk about it on the radio. I just don't. I don't know anything. Again, it's not that I don't know anything about it. It's just not me, okay? So I'm not going to be fake and say, hey, let's talk about it just to talk about it. I'm not going to do that, okay? It's not a major sport. It is what it is. And by the way, I'm not paying $60 for their pay-per-views.
It's a lot to keep up with, right?
It is.
And I just don't – the whole idea of – and I guess people say this about boxing. This can't – you're not going to have me pay to get my ass whooped. Or have me get paid to get my ass up. I don't like watching it. I don't like watching people get hit in the face.
I used to love boxing. Like back when boxing was a real legitimate thing. And
why is it not now?
It was the sweet science and, you know, Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield and Riddick Bowe and Lennox Lewis and just so many. I mean, I went to a couple of fights when I was living out in Vegas. And it was just like a palpably different sport. Just completely different sport. All right, another lawsuit story. This from also from ESPN. A fan who says he is the rightful owner of Shohei Ohtani's 50-50 home run ball has filed a civil lawsuit seeking to stop the scheduled auction of the ball. Max Mattis, an 18-year-old, filed suit in Florida's 11th Judicial Circuit Court seeking a temporary injunction against Golden Auctions, which is scheduled to open the bidding on the ball on Friday. Now, apparently, he says the ball was wrongfully and forcibly obtained from the 18-year-old who is making the lawsuit. And again, he wants, obviously, the right to control what happens with the ball, right? So Golden Auction said, you know, we're aware of the lawsuit. We're reviewing the allegations and the images and public video and blah, 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 blah. We plan to go live with the Ohtani 50-50 ball. Here's what I would say to this, okay? Again, another thing that I don't give really any you-know-whats about, but I will say this. When you catch a ball, or when you have possession of such a unique sporting item, I do treat that very differently than, say, antitrust lawsuits and all that legal nonsense, because that is part of being a fan.
Yes.
You know, like, part of being a fan is, now, as long as you legally do it, you don't trample people or punch people, you know, for a baseball or whatever. I mean, if you catch it, if you have possession of it, and you generally have two options. Either you keep it, or the team, security, whatever, will come up to you and say, hey, man, like, Shohei Ohtani, Dodgers, whatever, they'd like to, can we come and talk to you? Can we offer you something? I don't know exactly what happened here, but, like, can we just get past? Again, we did a story the other day where the Mets apparently denied entry to a woman who was wearing a Make America Great hat.
Make America Great Again
hat? Yeah, at Citi Field. And
are you allowed to
She said, that because, and she was a black woman, she said because white people were allowed to wear the hat, that she was going to sue them for $2 million for racial discrimination. We don't want racial discrimination at all in any way, shape, or form. But can we just stop suing everybody? I mean, again, the sports world is just becoming over and completely run. And there's more details on the UNLV quarterback. And now, by the way, UNLV has lost their starting quarterback and one of their top running backs. Although the top running back says it has nothing to do with money and NIL.
Sure,
it has everything to do with role.
I saw that. Yeah.
And Scooter, the quarterback, basically just quit on his entire team. I mean, I don't care what was promised, what was not promised. I mean, the NIL collective, the school, all say there was no promise, there was no contract, there was no guarantee, there was no nothing. It was discussed, or there was a discussion. Hey, we'll try and get this, we'll try and get that. Oh, the NIL collective leader, a donor to the program, said, look, absolutely not. There's no way I wouldn't have known. I knew nothing. Now, listen, they could all be running around and lying and saying things to the media that we'll all slurp up. But it seems to me very much so that this is a classic case of this kid hired an agent. After two agents negotiated supposedly this deal, this kid hired an agent. The agent said, yeah, man, I'm going to get you your money. Because otherwise, why would you hire him?
Exactly.
He hired the agent. The agent is trying everything he can to get the money, and it's not that much money. It's $100,000 for crying out loud, right? What is really $100,000? But the point of the matter is, apparently, according to UNLV, there was no agreement. There was no official agreement. So, I mean,
when you say official agreement, that means pen and paper.
Well, here's
because of this stuff's tongue in cheek.
Well, but tongue in cheek means nothing, and that's the problem. Like if I tell you, Linnell, man, I'm gonna take you out to lunch after the show, right? And then I say, man, I forgot. Do I still owe you lunch? You see what I'm saying? I forgot. I got to go somewhere. I got to do something. I got to get home, whatever. I got to get to the gym. I got to go cook dinner. I got to get ready for Thursday night football. I got lots of studying to do. You know what I'm saying? Do I still owe you lunch? Because I asked you to go to lunch and I forgot. No, I'm not saying that's exactly the situation here.
At the end of the day, though, man, that's how I look at it.
Well, sure. But they're saying that there wasn't even like a verbal agreement. That's what they're saying.
Now that is, I find it hard to believe, because why the hell would the kid go there then?
Because he wants to be the starting quarterback of a Mountain West program that has a chance to go to the college football playoff, and he's got a chance to put himself on a pedestal. See, this is the problem. While young people like you are worried about every last damn dollar and every last damn dime, and everything you think about like runs around the dollar and money and this, that, and the other thing. And I understand people need money to live. I totally get it.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, I'm just saying, this cat quit not only the school, forget about UNLV, forget about the head coach, Barry Odom, who's done a nice job, who lost his previous quarterback to USC, who's not even playing. He's a backup quarterback, for God's sakes. They won the Mountain West last year. They're 3-0. They're in the top 25. They got a huge game coming up. And now he's lost his second quarterback and all of his teammates.
Feel bad for him.
All of his teammates who he's been sweating with, who have been dropping drops of blood, who have been fighting with him to get to 3-0. He just quit on them. He's a quitter.
I give you that.
He's a quitter.
Once I found out that there was no like real agreement and it was just all word of mouth, he's an idiot and his agent's not smart.
Well, you also said if there's a verbal agreement, then that should
honor
your word should
but
be
like,
so maybe they
you can't try to bring it to court or can't try to make it use that.
Well, they're
as
not trying to bring it to court right now. He's just quitting
on the court thing. You can't try to make that your number one explanation. In reality, is your word versus the university's word.
Okay.
Like that's
I mean, somebody did something wrong here, but we all know this.
Right?
There is no written agreement that we know. That I mean, because that would have been produced already. But we also know this: Scooter, the quarterback, is a quitter. And if I'm another program, Ain't no chance in hell that I'm certainly not giving them any money, taking them on. I don't like quitters. Tough people survive. Tough people fight.
Fire Marcus.
Wimps quit. on their teammates. Wimps. And that's what he is.
What'd you call him?
Wimps. Or a wimp, period.
Clean up in aisle three.
All right. I feel like you're a much happier person after you clean up on aisle three.
Yeah, I just want to clean up the garbage. I want to make it nice and tidy.
Air all your grievances that
you've had. Yeah, I mean, all these lawsuits. I mean, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, we like the Shohei Ohtani thing, the UFC thing,
Shohei,
the Scooter thing at UNLV. Like, can we just, like, do sports?
The Shohei thing is, like, petty almost.
I know. Yeah. That's the point. Too many damn lawsuits, too much pettiness. The Citi Field thing that we mentioned earlier this week, too much. I mean, can we just, you know, like, actually talk about
I hear you.
Sports.
For once, I don't think you're just talking.
By the way, the Capitals were the preseason win last night in New Jersey. That was important to me. I watched a bunch of that game.
Your hometown.
Logan Thompson, their new goaltender, old goaltender, going to be the co-starter with Charlie Lindgren. Oh, my goodness! He made a great save. You heard it here on the Team 980. John Walton was behind the mic. We had the Capitals the last two nights after Craig against Boston on Tuesday and New Jersey last night. Josh Harris is New Jersey Devils. And by the way, Jacob Vrana back with the Capitals on a PTO. Oh, baby, he had a golden scoring opportunity. And he was denied.
Mm.
But it was sort of similar to the goal he scored game five of the Stanley Cup final in Vegas, a goal that I tried to describe to Spencer Carberry the other night. He didn't know about that when we had when we had a little happy hour meeting, a little happy hour brouhaha that the Capitals PR staff put on. So I just want to say I'm hoping, rooting for Jacob Vrana. He was always a good guy and a big part of that Stanley Cup final championship victory. Coming up, dum-dum of the day. It's next. It's straight ahead before we make way for Craig Hoffman. Coming up on the Team 980. All right, wrapping things up here on a Throwdown Thursday. Good show. A lot of good calls in the first 2+ hours of the show. Nell's Super Six Pack, if you missed it, hit the Odyssey Rewind. We played Real or Fraud with the undefeated teams, four of them. And then we just did a bunch of Lawsuit-a-mania.
Lawsuit-a-mania.
Yeah, exactly. It's like kind of like WrestleMania or WrestleMania, right? Lawsuit-a-mania. That's basically what sports turning out to be. Craig Hoffman coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, before we get there, we do this.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
Oh, yes. Multiple Dum Dums here. A advertised Bridgerton ball. Those of you that have seen the show Bridgerton, it's quite racy, quite sex-filled. Nothing wrong with that. Everybody likes whatever they like. But a Bridgerton ball advertised in Detroit, they say turned out to be a Willy Wonka-type fire festival scam with strippers and Kit Kat bars. Yeah, that's right. First off, the Bridgerton ball was advertised for one date, and then 3 days before the date, it was canceled, rescheduled, and people were mystified and worried about that. The tickets to the event went from $150 to $1,000. Now, it took place just a couple of days ago, Sunday, September 22nd, in Detroit. And people say, and the pictures show, that fans who paid all this money were sitting on the floor eating Kit Kats sold by vendors. And yes, watching a stripper for the night's entertainment. Interesting. And there's all sorts of pictures to show all the people. Again, people were worried. The original date was August 25th. It got postponed to September 22nd. There was a weird event website that had very little information, but it did say, come enjoy our Bridgerton-themed ball with prizes, giveaways, and more. You'll also get a chance to win the Diamond of the Season, whatever that means. Suitors in attendance will have a chance to win $2,000 in cash for the best dressed. And again, there's a bunch of, well, screens in a ballroom that doesn't look very much like the show Bridgerton. and people were upset. Putting on TikTok, there were no performers, there were no drinks, no food, no chairs, or not enough chairs, tables, no performers, as we mentioned. And instead of an instrumental performance, the guests were promised, the event organizers hired the stripper to perform. Normally nothing wrong with seeing a stripper, but I'm guessing if you watch Bridgerton, if you might be more female-related, the main entertainment act might not be a stripper that would be your cup of tea. I'm just saying, maybe, just saying, that might not be what you wanted to pay a lot of money for. What are you upset?
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
That's how you hit the post, but you're just... Austin told me not to use the H word, but I mean, you can't help yourself. I mean, you are swimming in it.
Okay. Whatever all that means, I don't know. I'll have to figure it out on the air. Craig Hoffman coming up next. Are you done, King Joffy Joffer?
All right, see Diddy.
Okay. Thanks to Matty Ice on the other side of the glass. Hoffman up next.
I will see you all this weekend with the backwards Jaden Daniels jersey.
As we look to move to 3-1.
How about that?
Catch
right.
Saturday on the all-new Infinity
coverage.
Sports Network.
In-game coverage. Oh, yes, on the all-new Infinity Sports Network. Catch me tomorrow, 1 o'clock, thankfully, solo with Matt.
Matt, just nod your head yes.
Adios on the Team 980
Matt's
and the Odyssey
XFL hat.